It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Jordan.
Come into the conversation. We are live at Francesca. There's Christine taking care of you. There's Coach Kenny Farrell with the Taz shirt. Love that. Love me some bamboo. Know what I'm saying? John Forkett, as always. Chef Scott, he went to the kitchen. I wonder where he went.
He probably snuck out the back door.
He probably had enough. Saints signing Nathan Peterman to be a backup, to compete, to be a camp quarterback. I don't know. Kind of looks, John Forkett, like they could be going into the start of the new season at the very least, as we're now 24 hours in to the 2024 NFL season with good old Jake Haener. He's your backup quarterback. You good with that?
Nope.
On that note, let's move to the other style of football, and that is the world's sport of soccer. Head coach Kenny Farrell joining us once a week, talk a little soccer. The Jester season right around the corner here as well, sir. I mean, we're now March 14th, your favorite day of the year, the Irish, right?
March 17th.
Yes,
yep.
March 17th, right around the corner.
St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, and then now you'll focus for real, right?
Yeah. So 23rd, open tryouts for the local players.
Uh-huh.
And then into training, and you know, first game's May 11th.
May 11th, wow. So you're less than 2 months away.
Yeah, it takes a long time to get them fit for this game.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. I think the squad's
together. Have you found a keeper? That's the main thing. I mean, that's the goalkeeper, John. The keeper, just making sure.
I find good keepers all over, but I don't know that anyone can match you.
Do the Jesters do like a 10-day contract or like a 5-day or one game, 1-day contract, you know?
I'll give you a 5-minute contract.
I mean, could I sit on the or stand on the sidelines with the jersey and then, you know?
You are more than welcome to come down to the sideline and actually realize how skillful, fast, and physical that game is.
I want some gloves. I want some gloves.
You might just get scared from standing on the sideline.
I want some gloves, though. I want some
face mask.
Well, they don't have face masks, do they?
I mean, no, they don't.
I don't think they need face masks, huh? I mean, I'm just saying. I mean, I just want some gloves. I mean, are those gloves like? I mean, do they stop the ball?
Are they garden gloves?
Yeah, they're very good.
Could you stop a ball without gloves?
Yeah, players used to play with it. Okay. I think there might be some goalkeepers that still want to play without gloves.
I mean, football players caught balls without gloves, so yeah. you can definitely do that.
No, you can.
So how impressed would you be if I stopped your goal kick without gloves?
Yeah, I wouldn't be impressed with you. I'd be looking at the player that took the shot and say, see you later.
You might stop the ball, but it ain't going to hit your hands. You probably have to use your whole body to stop it.
Yeah. No, so if you stop one of those shots, then the guy who's taking it is off the roster.
Yeah.
He's finished.
Yeah.
No, he's talking about playing in goal for us like he does every week. It's going to happen one year. It's going to happen, for sure.
At some point.
Gus came and plug in the doggone speaker.
No, I am.
How's
I'm
ready now.
Plugging in. Well, I mean, again, I got to get everybody in here.
I know.
Chef needs. Here, get your headset. I did all of that for Chef.
You're a good man, Gus.
All right, man. So what we got this week that we want to focus on, man? Obviously, since we last talked again, the women did win.
Yeah.
So wait, who won the big game? Last week you said Liverpool?
Oh, no, you're talking about Manchester United and Everton.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying Liverpool was playing someone.
Yeah,
that
was it, yeah.
Yeah, the big game was Liverpool and someone. Y'all were going
to Man City.
Scott's team.
There's two games you're talking about. One was the huge game, which was Manchester City and at Liverpool.
So right? Huge, I didn't
that
know
that was 1-1. That was an absolutely fantastic game to watch. It ended in a draw, a tie.
You play all that time, and you gotta have a winner.
Yeah, no,
oh,
90
on.
Minutes.
You play a sporting event, you gotta have a winner.
But I would say if you got a chance to watch it, it was an absolutely fantastic game of football with some of the best players in the world. It was amazing. So, a game of 2 hours, by the way, Manchester.
I gotta see a game where it's 7-6 or 9-8.
Yeah. Soccer's always 2-1, 1-0, 1-1.
Not always, but
rarely three.
When the women won the gold medal that year and they won in a shootout, it was 0-0.
Right.
They won in a shootout. I'm like, God.
But anyway, right. So
I didn't mean to interrupt, but I was wondering. The last five minutes
of a tied soccer match.
That other game you spoke about, Manchester United versus Everton, United won it 2-0.
Did it?
I kind of predicted 2-1 that,
That's Graham's team.
Which one? The one that won it?
Everton, right?
No, they didn't win it. Manchester United won it.
Yeah,
it was close.
You should have told me something how to put some money on it.
Oh, here we go with the money. Let me ask you, though.
I'll talk to you after the show.
We talked about the ladies winning and stuff and maybe kind of starting a whole new era and things of that nature. And Alex Morgan's still very recognizable, but it is now time for other players to kind of come. Yeah. It felt like the world kind of caught up to him a bit. How important and how key was that to bounce back from a loss in that tournament, but to eventually win the tournament for them in their sake?
Oh, I think it's important. Like, every time that the United States women's team went onto a pitch for the last couple of decades, they never thought that they were going to, even if they did lose a game every now and again, they never thought they could beat, or if they ever went down in a game, they always felt they could win the game. And I think it was important with this new crew coming through that they got through a tough Gold Cup, to be honest with you, because they went through the semi-final on a penalty shootout against Canada, and then they go and beat Brazil in the final, and Brazil for the first 20-25 minutes looked fantastic. The United States got it. So psychologically, and having that feeling about being able to win no matter what the circumstances are is really important, because it is a new crew. It's a new generation. It's going to be a new style of football, soccer, I should say, a new style of soccer. And that old way of dominating with power, athleticism, and just being better than everybody else athletically has got to change as they go forward. But what's important out of that game for me, if I was analyzing that game, is the fact that Brazil dominated the game for the first 25-30 minutes. The United States started to take over and went and won the game.
Okay.
And these are young players coming through that get through that in a cup final in front of a big crowd against the big team, and they come and do it. So I think from that point, it's really, really good. It's something to build on, and we needed to win that game.
As far as the men go, no games just yet this month?
Well, there is. There's one coming up. It's the last one before the summer. They play Jamaica March 21st. I'm not sure what TV station it's on.
Okay.
But the Copa America, don't underestimate how important that is to this part of the world, to Argentina, to Brazil, to all the big teams.
And to your point, Messi's going to be playing this one.
Yeah.
And so, like, we'll get to see the U.S. take on.
Oh,
like, that hasn't happened, right, in the past that I know of?
Not that I know of, no.
Okay.
No.
Like, we've never seen Team USA take on Argentina.
Yeah, I can't say, but not in my memory. Not in my memory.
So it's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
And it's going to be here in the States. So we could actually probably go.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be here in the States. It's going to be great. And the game that's coming up this month, I think you'll probably get a look, because it's the last time they're going to play. They're playing Jamaica at home, the men's team. It'll probably look at who the starting lineup is. I don't think he's going to be testing players in that game. I think he's looking at probably what's going to play in the Copa America, although he does have that one other game against Brazil but prior to the tournament kicking off. So it's a very important game that way. And I told you, I talk about mentality when it comes to the United States. The men have a great mentality about everything they do now. The women always had and looked a little bit nervous going into the Gold Cup with the new players coming in. But we've got to maintain that we can win no matter what we're playing against and what we do. So it's going to be important. Jamaica we should beat. Then we play Brazil, and then we go into the Gold Cup. But that's where we need to be in soccer, is in the game all the time. No matter what's going on, we always believe we can win.
Okay. Easy enough.
I know we got a couple. It's not the Jamaican bobsled team.
No, it's not the Jamaican bobsled team.
State won by 10.
Get it in.
Mississippi State did beat LSU, so the men's basketball season is over. We can talk a little bit about that here coming up on the Matt Moscona show here as well. They will break it down a little bit more as to what happened. Go ahead and grab your phones, open your apps. Some Premier League games that these guys can, as John likes to say, make money off
of. You giving us some wages?
No, yeah, so...
let me pull it up. Hold on.
So what you would call the Open Cup, the quarterfinals of what's the FA Cup, which is the Open Cup in England.
Mm-hmm.
It's in its quarterfinals this week. So some of the English Premier League games have been postponed because teams are still playing in what's called the FA Cup. So Manchester United play Liverpool this week, which is one of the biggest rivalries in the world.
So which league would I look for? The UEL, United European League?
If you're looking for next weekend's games, you would look for FA Cup. To put an FA Cup schedule.
Really?
And this tournament starts with over 600 teams in it. And amateur teams play into certain rounds, and then lower league teams get in, first and second round.
EuroLeague?
And the teams that survive get in to play Premier League teams, and sometimes a lower level team gets through.
Look at all these leagues.
FA Cup, yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. So I don't think you get
what
a bigger...
What about Europe Conference League? There's too many leagues.
There is. Look at all these leagues. Look at this. Look.
That's what I'm here. I'm here to educate you with all this stuff.
They all get paid?
That's why we have Kenny Farrell here. He can tell you what to
go
to.
Milan's playing right now, right?
They're playing in the Champions League.
That's not the Champions League.
Oh, sorry, it's Europa. It's a second-level team, yeah.
So I need to get into the Conference League?
The Conference would be the third level of European football.
So what's European, the best one to bet? It's too hard to do.
Yes.
The best one to bet is looking at this weekend on the FA Cup.
Okay.
On Saturday.
And who do you like?
And the most interesting game is Manchester United versus Liverpool. Liverpool will be the favorites, but I think Manchester United is going to pull this one off.
Really?
Yeah, I think they're going to pull it off. And if you get a chance to watch it.
It wouldn't be because that's your team.
No, I'd be very honest about it. I don't think they'll be the prettiest, best team, but if you're going to go, I think you'll get a decent price for that game. For Manchester United to beat them in 90 minutes.
Okay.
And you know what happens if it goes to a tie?
What's that?
They end the game.
Uh-huh.
And then they go and play at the other ground. So they're playing at Manchester United this week.
Is it a game or a half?
No, it's a game.
It's a full game. So if you tie, you have to play another game.
Yep. So it'll leave your ground and it'll go to their ground.
There's like 24 leagues.
Could you imagine?
It's impossible to bet.
Saints and Falcons tie. We'll see you next week at the opposing stadium.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's the way it's played. But it makes it very exciting, though. You know?
Okay.
So but that's good. And then the other thing is, the schedule's coming out, so it's important for us gestures-wise to get up and running. And we have a...
Guys, I'm sticking with badminton here. I'm betting on badminton.
He's still looking. Go ahead. Tell us about the gesture schedule. Go ahead.
No, I was going to tell you when the schedule starts, and then I got a coach coming in that's a friend of mine, but he's one of the top coaches in the world. He's going to spend the season with us here. And he's coming in from, he used to be coach at Tottenham Hotspur and Queen's Park Rangers. He's not working right now, so he'll be working with us too during the summer, which is fantastic.
Nice. My neighbor across the street is a huge Hotspurs fan.
Yeah, well, Chris developed Harry Kane and all those players. So
he'll be
working with us, which is exciting for our players, exciting for the program.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll have him in here, so that's a nice bit of news. But, you know, we got the tryouts coming up next week for the local players. Hopefully I can pluck some and put them into the team. And then we'll talk about the rest of the squad, you know, as time gets closer to the season.
All right, we'll see you next Thursday. Head Coach Kenny Farrell here.
All right, Kenny. World of
Jesters, as always, appreciate the time.
Thanks, brother.
All right, quick break. Jeff, we'll see you online. We'll come to you next on ESPN New Orleans.
We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
800-998-1003. Jeff, thank you for holding on here, sirs. We're live at the deli, better known as Francesca by Katie's Deli Pizzeria and Catering with Chef Scotty, as they are getting a lesson from Kenny Farrell right now, Jeff, on how many games they play and all of that. You can take those. We're good. What's up, man? How are you?
I'm doing well. I was just listening to the soccer coach there talk about how much he loves this time of March, and earlier in the show, you had referenced being stabbed in the back in Caesar. I just want to warn you guys that tomorrow is the Ides of March. Beware the Ides of March. I don't know if you caught on to that when you mentioned Caesar earlier in your show.
Oh, I didn't. That's true.
What the heck y'all talking about?
You don't know what the Ides of March is?
What's the matter? John 4K never read Shakespeare? Okay. Well,
I skipped that class that day.
Okay, well, speaking of John 4K,
I was skipping that class.
Well, speaking of John 4K, this is the first time I've ever called the show and talked to John directly. I know I'm a few months late here, John, but I just want to let you know that Until the End of the World is my personal favorite U2 song, and that will be the name of my bracket when it beats your bracket and takes your money. So just want to let you know that.
Nice. We're going to do a bracket challenge. You're going to fill out a bracket?
Yes, indeed.
Yep.
Yes, indeed.
Until the End of the World. It's a very good song. You too. Very, very nice. The Ides of March, the 74th day of the Roman calendar, which corresponds to March 15th.
My theme song could be Michael Jackson, Beat It.
It was a day of religious observances and a deadline for settling debts. Secondly, most famously, probably at least to me, Jeff, the Ides of March is also associated with the misfortune and doom. 44 BCE, Roman dictator Julius Caesar was assassinated by a group of nobles, including Cassius and Brutus, on the Ides of March. So when you hear that, it's a reference to somebody stabbing you in the back.
Gotcha. Okay.
Okay.
There you go.
Now I got it. Go stab me in the back.
It's considered. It's considered an unlucky date for people.
There it is. Be careful with your ESPN bets tomorrow. But the reason I actually called your show is, I guess roughly about an hour ago now, you guys were talking about Will Wade. You know, I live down here in Bayou Country, and I was at a local watering hole watching Nicholls State and McNeese State on ESPN yesterday. And last toward night. The end of the game, when the game was in hound, you know, they kept showing Will Wade on the screen, and I was thinking as the game was going on, you know, Louisville fired their coach yesterday.
Just fired their coach.
Oklahoma State. Yeah, Louisville fired their coach yesterday, and Oklahoma State fired their coach today. So that's two quote-unquote traditional basketball schools and big conferences that are now looking for a coach, and we really don't expect McNeese State to make it out of the second round, do we? What do you think, Gus?
I got to tell you.
I do.
What?
I think McNeese is going to win two games. They're really good.
Well, they're going to get paired up. They're probably going to get paired up with UConn or Houston in the first game, so I don't see that happening personally. But yeah. I don't know.
I just kind of stink when it comes to that. I guess they can beat Houston. People want to expand it, but they can beat Houston? Let's not get carried away here.
I don't know, man. Will Wade's got that team playing really well, and he has purchased a really great Southland Conference team. I mean, they've got $250,000 in NIL money just for their basketball team. I mean, that's at McNeese.
And they, Nick.
And they expect.
Nicholls State.
And as
Nicholls. Go ahead. I was just saying, Nicholls State wasn't so bad either this year. They beat LSU.
Yeah, right. When LSU in the early season.
Don't make no excuses.
They wouldn't beat them now. But my point is, it's very difficult for. You know, I'm a huge University of New Orleans guy. And it's impossible for UNO with our budget to compete with NIL with teams like McNeese. As it is with Nicholls. I'm sure Nicholls has some sort of NIL. I don't know. They've got more money than UNO does.
If you don't have that, I don't know how you compete now.
You can't. And it's like, you know, everybody says, well, Coach Sletz this. Coach, he has nothing to compete with. What do you want? You know, it's just NIL has to be controlled, and until it is, it's going to be a disaster. But go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, that was just it. My point really was, since you guys mentioned Will Wade, that's what inspired me to call. It's like I'm thinking,
oh, yeah.
You know, Louisville's job's open, Oklahoma State's job open. That's two big schools and power conferences looking for head coach. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he starts taking those calls at the end of the second round.
I do think with you at some point in time, to your point,
he'll be gone next year.
Somebody's going to, you know, see what they did. And now, again, with the stuff that actually got you in trouble, isn't something that will get you in trouble. Can you understand how to get players? Can you go out and recruit players and do that? He clearly can do that. He clearly can coach. I wasn't joking. I mean, it wasn't the first time I heard somebody text me and be like, hey, you know, should Tulane or something like that. And I mean by that is, I think people just want to see the programs get back to normal and all that stuff. You know, I mean, I don't know. We're going to talk a lot about college basketball, obviously, with the tournament starting this week and everything. But in all honesty, Jeff, you can answer this here as well, if you'd like. At this table right now, ready, Chef Scotty?
Yeah.
What is Duke's head coach's name?
Duke's head coach.
What is North Carolina's head coach's name?
I don't know, man.
And I'm not saying that to me. John, do you know?
I don't pay attention.
Since Coach K and Roy Williams have left, those are two big name schools.
I don't watch it.
And this is by no means picking on you, because quite honestly, I probably would have to look it up.
I don't watch it.
Right? But my point is, college basketball has changed so much because of either one and done, transfer, NIL, and you've lost a lot of the personalities that were coaches. And when you hear Nick Saban on the Hill just yesterday saying, hey, this is why I got out.
What did I say?
And what I heard somebody nationally say this, Jeff. You're losing the personalities. You're losing the names. I mean, Patino, it's kind of one of the last ones there. That's because he was ripping his team and called them garbage, essentially. But from Roy Williams to all those guys to Coach K, it's like, I legitimately, can you name five college basketball coaches not in, you know, that you root for, like for Nicholls and Coach Sanders? And
if it's not UNO, Tulane, or LSU, I don't care.
But that's what I say. I just literally named two blue bloods.
Right. They lost me a long time.
Right?
Oh, the A's.
Yeah.
The ACC in particular is taking a hit because Boeheim's gone, Coach K is gone, Roy Williams is gone. I mean, and it shows the ACC is not the powerhouse that it once was, you know?
No. Boeheim, I thought he's coaching Syracuse.
He used to.
I mean, he's not there anymore.
Didn't I see him on the sideline?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't he on the sideline?
He's a fan.
Yeah, no, he's done, bro.
He's done?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Just goes to show you.
One and done's ruined college basketball,
so,
in my opinion.
Look, I've said it before. I think I would love to see what they've done with college baseball. There's a reason college baseball's gotten so big, mm-hmm. competitive. It's making money. Mm-hmm. And you've had some really good World Series and stuff of that nature, right? It's if you're good enough, you can go mm-hmm. to the MLBs after high school. You can also go into the draft. And if you don't like where you're drafted, you can come back.
Right.
But once you show up on campus, it's a three-year commitment.
And that's what it should be for every sport.
What I'm saying. And I love that because you still have – because here's the thing. Not everybody's LeBron. And I love how everyone goes, well, you'll stop it. Not everybody's like that. It's taken Trey Murphy 3 years to get to. I mean, look at all of these players that are good in the NBA. Zion's on his fourth year, and he's still, I'm just saying, it's like
they have to grow up too.
Well, that's my point.
But
I mean,
personally,
it's so hard at 19 and 20. You don't have the skills.
No,
you don't. You don't have the skills to that. And especially with the league changing to the way it is now, we'll basically have to be a 3-point shooter. Right. I mean, essentially, and understand how to play in a up-tempo, transition, three-point shooting game. Not everybody is capable of that. Not everybody has that as well. So I think when you add all of that, man, it come into school 3 years, learn financing, learn how to handle yourself, learn how to do all those different aspects, play. College game gets back to where it was, where you're kind of, look, I'm not saying people aren't going to watch the next 2 weeks. They are. But legitimately, I think I could probably walk at Lakeside Mall and go from one end to the other, and I'm going to say 75% of people don't know the names of the top five college programs historically.
Right.
In college basketball today. Head coaches, players.
Yeah. Right.
Players.
We don't watch it because it's one and done.
You just don't know who they are.
You don't care.
Unless it's my local team.
You and I are about the same age, Gus, man. When we were kids, those old Georgetown-Syracuse games were nasty.
100%,
man. Stuff anymore.
Nope.
Nah, no doubt, man. For sure,
Georgetown's
dude.
Nothing, man. They're horrible.
remember years ago, DePaul used to be so good.
You had DePaul, and Marquette.
Then you had Marquette and Seton Hall. Those guys from the Big East are all gone, and trying to, like you said, the
sucks,
ACC.
Man.
I can barely name SEC head coaches in basketball, and I played in the SEC. I'm an SEC, homie, but I couldn't tell you. Ole Miss's coach, only a beard, that's his name. Guy came from Texas and then California.
Yeah, beard. Yeah,
I can name the guy from Kentucky, and that's it.
Yeah.
Oh, Jerry Stackhouse, he just got fired.
I knew Stackhouse. I'm friends with Stackhouse, so I knew
it. To be fair, it could be me. You work in the NBA, it's 82 nights. I mean, when I don't have something, I'm at home with the kid. Like, I'm not watching college basketball all the time because I'm watching NBA. So it could be me.
All I do is bet on him, and I don't watch him.
I'm just saying it could be me, but I think I'm not alone in that. Because I'll pull up, like, NBA mock drafts. And, man, I don't know any of these guys. I mean, and to Jeff's point, I remember when the Hornets first got here, walking into that locker room and kind of being a bit starstruck from this aspect.
Well, you were much younger.
Well, there's
– you've learned that
there's Big Cat Jamal McGlure. There's Jamal Mashburn.
Yeah,
there's the kid from Valpo, and I'm like, he hit the shot, Bryce Drew. Like, I mean, I in the locker room –
You know who hit the shot on?
Ole Miss?
Yes.
Yeah.
The deal is we've gotten older and we realize that these guys aren't anything to look up to.
But what I'm saying is that the point is it's not even that. You keep thinking it's the kids that are bad. look, you created that, you and all your booster friends. It's all about the money. But the thing is, the thing that I always try to think of, man, is there were rivalries. Here's the thing. Like, the discussion that was going on the last couple of weeks, with Caitlin Clark and who she's, Caitlin Clark. No, you know who Caitlin Clark is. I know you're joking. But that's my point. Caitlin Clark is probably more popular and more recognizable name-wise than a kid at Kansas right now.
and 90% of the players.
100%.
The men's players. Yes.
And rightfully so. I mean, she just put up all those points. I get that. But the point being is, like, we were talking about it, and I said, dude, I probably have to go back to, like, Leitner. You know, where, you know, that, like, that guy was hate. I mean, there was a 30 for 30 for Christian Leitner. Remember, wasn't it titled, I Hate Bleeping Leitner, Christian Leitner, or something like that? But seriously, like, those Duke teams, you either loved them, or, boy, you couldn't stand them. And when Kentucky and UNC would play.
And the Fab Five.
But I'm just, right, but that's my point. They played
like
for two, 3 seasons
together. Five, Slamma, Jamma. That's right. How far back
I go. That's, I think, my point, right? You saw teams, and then they all met. You couldn't
go
wait.
Back to Rick Roby, Phillips.
But you know, so you, from Kentucky. You couldn't wait until
from
they
Brother
met.
Martin High.
Until they met up in the, you know, Final Four, Elite Eight, Sweet 16 matchups. Yeah? So, easy enough. But take a quick break. We'll come back to Sports Hangover at ESPN New Orleans. Oh, my goodness. Chef Scotty, you have some of the best chocolate chip cookies out here, dude. It is just unbelievable. Do you bake them at home? Is that what you do? Bake them at home here?
We bake them here.
You bake them here?
Yeah, Chad makes them.
You have another set over there for
for
Carver?
That's it.
Four kid already ate mine. So,
Carver. This is my third piece.
Carver loves him some chocolate chip cookies.
We got really good. The giant chocolate chip cookies.
You know how it works is I always tell Chef Scotty they're for Carver.
I know.
Right.
And then
I know who they're for.
Chef, it is Thursday, which means I do know one thing, because I do love pizza. And it's,
I got to give you the menu for this weekend.
It's a shame for me, because it's all I ever bring up, because I love pizza. But it is the best pizza in town for $13 on a Thursday. You cannot beat that.
Okay.
Yeah, you can't beat that.
And Joey's got, we made fresh ravioli again this weekend. We're making fresh linguine pasta ravioli. to go with our dishes. Mm-hmm. We're doing shepherd's pie. We're doing corned beef and cabbage. Everything for what's the Irish day? St. Patrick's Day.
What's the Irish day?
What's the Irish day?
St. Patrick's day. So, and we're doing braised glazed pork belly.
Glazed.
That's a special.
Braised and glazed.
It's going to be delicious. Pork belly. I've got some soft shell crabs because I've got a line on those. Tomorrow we will have fresh grouper, fresh trout, fresh redfish, and fresh catfish for your Lent specials. And here we do the seafood platters on Friday, fried seafood platters for 2 to 4 or 6 to 8 giant platters. You can come here and feed your whole family for $80. It's pretty awesome. It's just a pan of seafood. Really.
So last Thursday, I think it was right after you had left. You were on the corner, like, catering out of your trunk. Mm-hmm. I mean, you were busy catering. Literally. With your manager friend over there, and y'all were literally, you had your trunk open, and I'm assuming.
The job I did Friday like to kill me.
I'm not trying to get the NOPD on you, but I mean, I'm assuming you were catering out of your truck. I mean, I don't know what else you were doing.
I was moving the equipment.
I mean, there's a street corner.
I was switching equipment.
Got to have a vendor permit.
Here we go, picking on New Orleans Path.
Well, I mean, you need a I was changing equipment
from I have a storage room right there.
I was just glad you got in the restaurant quick that you didn't get mugged or shot or anything. Just being careful.
I was just going with the permit
thing.
These
guys.
Anyway, so what the whole point
these
is, while we saw all of that going on, somebody walked out. I forgot his name. I always forget his name. Who's your manager there, assistant manager?
Marcus?
Yes.
General manager? Tall guy?
Well, no, short guy. I think it's Marcus. Marcus sounds right.
Might have been.
Anyway,
that was probably.
He walked out, and he had the barge.
Gosh.
Like I'd never seen.
Oh yeah,
I read about it all the time. I see it on the menu.
Who had a barge? We don't make barges anymore.
Well,
you had a barge full of seafood.
Buddy,
that was taken outside.
You had a.
Like
a
plate. Well, that's the seafood platter.
Yeah.
That's the seafood platter.
That's the seafood platter.
We saw that.
I'm telling you, man, I don't play.
So what's the difference between that and the barge? The barge is on a loaf of bread?
The barge is on a loaf of French bread.
Okay, it was not on a loaf of bread.
We'll do it if you ask, but it's not on the menu anymore because it was backing up our kitchen terribly. Because we have to stop what we're doing, and the barge takes up a whole cooler to work on.
How many barges did you get?
How many barges did I used to sell?
No, I mean, yeah. Like, legit.
In the beginning, we'd sell 30.
Wow.
Something like that. And it was featured on Diners, Drive-Ins,
yeah,
and Dives.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's huge.
But it just, we were overwhelmed, and we couldn't keep it up. And we had, you know, and they got to be so expensive. I mean, it's $50 now if you want one. But, I mean, it's catfish, shrimp, oysters, lots of them on a loaf of French bread dressed.
Yeah. And is it a sandwich?
It's a sandwich.
It is.
It was a whole loaf.
No, the other thing was just a...
That's a plate of seafood.
It was a. That's a huge plate.
Yeah, it's a massive plate of seafood.
Seafood bladder.
Legitimately did. Now, what are you doing over there?
He's dipping.
I'm dunking my cookies, my Gatorade. It's awesome, man.
Wow. See, I was hoping at least coffee or something.
Oh, milk.
Milk.
It's delicious.
Chocolate chip cookies in
In Gatorade.
Gatorade.
Fruit punch Gatorade.
Hey, dude, you are a strange individual.
Hey.
But that's how you learn what tastes good with what. You got to try it.
Really?
Well, you know,
I don't.
That's how you like tasted vodka and Red Bull.
I'm gonna have this sound.
Exactly. Somebody did that. I used to do that.
I'm gonna have this sound tomorrow because it's going on right now, so I can't cut it, obviously. But the Willie Gay Jr. and Xander Horvath are speaking.
Are the two big signings?
Mm-hmm.
You know what? They may be championship moves. You don't know.
Didn't you say that last year when they signed the two guys, Kansas City Chiefs guy, the D-line tackle?
Guys, let me tell you something.
Another guy.
They had injuries last year. I know injuries. Part of the game, blah, blah, blah.
All I'm saying is
they're going to do well this year.
Ross Jackson just tweeted.
I'm a little concerned.
Uncle Earl, I'm getting it for you because Uncle Earl's already on his way to the liquor store.
Uncle Earl needs to be a fan again. And hush.
You need him to be a fan.
That man is getting, he's become way too negative listening to 4K.
Why are you blaming 4K?
You're blaming me.
Because 4K has nothing to do with this.
He's a negative Nelly.
He's not negative.
He is. You know, like when I say something and it's pretty much correct?
That's negative. John, there ain't much you say that's correct.
You know he's going to hold the Baker Mayfield next to you, down on you for the rest of your life.
But because he won the same amount of games and happened to win one extra game he was and went to the playoffs.
Come on, man.
Well, it's all about the playoffs, ain't it?
Yeah, Baker Mayfield turned out to be better.
Remember the year Seattle went to the playoffs with a losing record?
Xander Horvath just said, quote,
on Super Bowl.
On the team's new system under Clint Kubiak.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, it's the type of offense he's been trying to get to his whole career.
Now, what position does his Horvath play?
He's a fullback.
Fullback.
Just block and shut up.
A fullback.
What?
He might play four times.
Shut up. He's making you happy.
Just be the lead blocker and shut up.
He's saying his whole career.
Well, why don't you guys be
the seventh
be
rounder
happy.
Has been trying to get to this type of offense. Let Atlanta have Rondale Moore.
Wait a second.
Let Atlanta have Kirk Cousins.
If you're a blocking fullback, it doesn't matter what offense you play.
Oh, he's caught a touchdown.
Block.
He caught a touchdown pass in the Chargers.
One.
Well, one turns to two in this offense.
Didn't Sean Payton say before back he'd catch a couple of touchdown passes?
Hey, look, all I know is this. You know what? You're looking at this the wrong way. I'm with Chef Scott now. Kubiak's got the element of surprise. You know what? He ain't called a darn play in a game yet. There are no tendencies, 4K. You have no idea what he's going to call. Xander is telling us. What is Xander telling us right now? Xander is telling us.
Read the middle one.
Hold on. Xander is telling us it could be a 15-passing attempt offense to the fullback.
Did he just say that, or are you just making this up?
What?
That the fullback just said there might be a chance of him get 15 balls thrown his way?
About Coach Les? I kept telling everybody to quit talking about it. He's going to be fine.
Anyway, can I get back to my daydream?
I'm sorry, I'm so excited about that.
I was trying to help you over here.
You're dreaming all right.
Well, I'm just saying he's excited.
You're in a nightmare.
What? He's excited. What a nightmare. Atlanta won't know what's coming. They have never seen an offense where the fullback will be the primary weapon. What about that?
He might get about 10 carries a game, too. Oh, my.
I can't do it anymore. I'm fine.
Okay.
It's all good.
I hear you.
Aren't you?
I hear you.
Oh, okay. I mean, it is.
Who else? The gay talk yet?
The New Orleans Saints select.
You know, it's like I think I started playing that in October last year.
Who do you think they're going to pick?
Who do you think they're going to pick? I legitimately think.
Off the top of your head.
Well, the fact that we just did like our little thing where we went around the horn and right before we get to Josh here is going to have a great phone call. I think it's all open to everything. I still think you go tackle.
If a good tackle or two falls, they're going to tackle.
But going through what I just said. If one of your top receivers is there, I wouldn't blink an eye. If Bowers is there, I wouldn't blink an eye. They have got to have some weapons.
They do. Bowers or a good tight end, you got to snatch.
Josh, help me out here, sir. How are you? Are you excited that Xander Horvath says he's been looking to play in the kind of offense like this his entire career?
Yeah, it's pretty upsetting when the Philadelphia Eagles, their worst pickup in free agency is arguably our third best linebacker, and our second best free agent signing is a fullback. I've never heard
fullback.
He has the coolest name ever.
Yes, Xander Horvath. Josh, I'm just saying.
They signed another fullback, too. Why are you just talking about
Adam Prentice, yes. Yeah. Well, they signed him back. So it's a double fullback. You have never seen this kind of offense. A double fullback right down your throat, Josh. Yeah. One might run it, one might catch it.
And one might be off the team.
Stop it.
Well, they're not going with two fullbacks.
We have a running back that over his career, basically, like only 35% he's run in between the tackles. So that really doesn't make sense to me at all. But, you know, it is what it is. Par for the course, man. I mean, Terry Fontenot is over in Atlanta just cooking. He is cooking. And we're over here with Loomis, who's just having a tea party with Gale and, you know, signing people off the street. I don't know.
Josh, along those lines, real quick, and I want to let you finish your thought. But when Kirk Cousins yesterday said that Fontenot hooked him up with Drew Brees to talk about what it was like to work, or he got with Drew Brees to find out what it was like to work with Terry Fontenot. Like, you keep hearing everybody but here is looking at Drew and everything. You know what I think? Does it seem like Drew's even a part of this franchise anymore? Do you like the fact that Drew's telling, hey, this is what it's like to work with everybody that's no longer on that franchise? Like, did you catch that yesterday?
No. Well, I mean, Terry was one of the three, you know, three heads of the three-headed monster in Loomis and Peyton. He didn't get any credit. That dude he played in college. The guy is a smart, smart guy. When he went to Atlanta, I'm pretty sure on the show I called and said it, like, they are going to turn it around because of that guy. And we basically got stuck with, like, the shell of the organization. And it was just, I mean, it's upsetting. And honestly, if you look at all these weapons that Atlanta has, if you look at the Bijan, Tyler Allgeier, the other running back, you have the wide receivers, Pitts. They're all 24 and under.
23. Yep, 23.
So let's say Cousins doesn't work out, okay? Worst case scenario, the Falcons next year are in our situation right now, but they have weapons, and they can just go get a quarterback in the draft next year if it doesn't work out with Cousins. But I think it's going to work out with Cousins because the dude is just, I mean, he gets the ball. I mean, if Chef Scotty can be all about Derek Carr, even though we're going to be picking top five next year, then how can he put down Kirk Cousins, who's going to have the most weapons he's ever had, and in the weakest division ever? I mean, they're going to win 10, 11 games, man. It's going to be bad. But it is what it is.
Are you a Falcons fan?
No, he's not a Falcon fan. He's a realist.
No, I'm not a Falcons fan. I'm just a fan that's watching my team get murdered in the division when it comes to off-season moves and front office moves. I mean, look at the Bucs. They pick up Baker Mayfield off the street and win the division. I mean, look at that. I mean, you can hate on Baker all you want. He has more playoff wins than Derek Carr. I mean, it's crazy to me. But it's fun
just
to watch.
Just trying to be positive, man. I'm just trying to be positive.
No, I know.
Got to get him a shirt. I'm just trying to be positive.
I know. You look at the writing on the wall.
Wait. Hold on.
There's no players.
I got something. John Sigler, per the Destin Adams reports or something. The Saints have scheduled a top 30 draft visit with New Hampshire running back Dylan Laube, L-A-U-B-E. I know, Josh, you love Raz scores because the Saints love their Raz scores. He's a running back prospect in the upcoming draft class. Scored an 8.74 out of a possible 10. That ranks him 225 out of 1,771 running backs from 1987 to 2024. So there you go.
Yep, running against fifth graders. Anyway, guys, y'all have a good one. And who dat?
There it is. See? Chef Scotty, who dat? NFL.
Who dat?
Final segment next on ESPN New York.
To the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Chef Scotty is gone. Or is he? I don't know. He always just kind of meanders here, huh?
Should I have to go back to the other store?
Kind of meander. I do love the red. You got some Maui gyms, too? Those Maui's?
Yes, sir.
Nice. I got red Maui lenses, too. I think they're the same.
Look at you two guys.
I think they have a lifetime warranty.
See, I got the smoke lenses. You think you got the black? Very similar.
See what I did yesterday.
Oh, no. Don't do that as well. What are your thoughts, man? I know you were in our fantasy football league here as well and had a little fun. What are your thoughts on what the Saints are doing? Chef Scotty's trying to keep his hopes up a little bit here. It's only 4 days into free agency, legal tampering, to officially the league, the start of the new league year and stuff. But
right.
Just when you heard Cousins to the Falcons, your initial thought was what? Initial thought.
My initial thought, they are division. They're going to run the division.
Really?
I feel like it, maybe 11-6. I feel like it's going to be a tight division either way. I know Baker's back with Tampa. Carolina, they have no choice but to go up from 2-15.
Okay.
I'm really liking Atlanta this year. I mean, not that I don't like them, but I like them to win the division.
It's amazing you said. Atlanta,
right.
Being, you know, it was going to be Tampa Bay, and then, you know, because nobody knew what Atlanta was going to do because it's between Fields and who else. And then they go out and get Carr, and everybody's like, now Atlanta.
Let me ask you,
Atlanta's the division guys.
What they're building prospect-wise. Like, to the point that Josh has brought up, when I saw that graphic on NFL Live yesterday, you know, the show and Kirk Cousins in the presser, and, man, when you see all those players, I mean, they're legit all, I think, top 10 players, right? Bijan Robinson, Kyle Pitts, Drake London, were all top 10 picks, if I think so.
I think so.
And they're 23 years old. I mean, that's... They're babies. I mean, they just really got started, and they're starting in a new system that I think is going to be able to help them out a little bit.
The only thing that's the drawback is you know, we pretty much for the last 3 days, everything's been their offense. You know, we got to talk about their defense because they can score, you know, if they can go out and score 30 points and give up 35, then it means nothing. So what are they going to do with the defensive side of football? Do they go to draft? And to fix the defensive side of football, they're going to have to try to fix their defense. Defense wasn't bad, but to be a better team in the division and get to that playoff level, they have got to have both sides of the football.
I don't know if y'all seen this, Austin Eckler. That's him curling a 200-pound dumbbell. I mean, wow. It's not curling. He's kind of like doing backlifts.
Still,
could you pick up 200 pounds like that?
Yes.
You could?
Yes, sir.
Really?
Yes,
wow.
Sir.
You could do that?
Possibly.
Yeah. You're
possibly?
Not,
am I the only one that can't pick up a 200-pound dumbbell? Or doesn't think
serious?
That's pretty...
You're not picking it up like over your head. You're just, like you said, reaching up. So it's not that heavy.
I mean, Alex, it's still 200 pounds.
You can do it, dude. I'm telling you.
That's a lot. I probably could if I tried. If I worked out a little more than that.
The difference was, he's on the bench, and he's got his arm extended down, and he's just picking
Austin
him up.
Austin Eckler's a good pickup, I think.
No doubt.
I like what we're doing. We didn't have enough time to talk about today, but we will next week. What Dan Quinn's doing over there is very reminiscent of what I think Houston was successful with. Mm. Build a good defense, get a nice culture, help your quarterback. Don't ask him too much because they're going to get one of his new ones and he'll do something. Matt Moscone, after further reviews next. Thank you, Alex, for everything that you did here. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
4K. Okay. We'll see you next week on the Sports Hangover.
Ramsey's gives you wonderful choices.
Yellow gold, white gold, rose gold, or platinum.
Platinum is an amazing value right now.
You can choose from Louisiana's largest selection of diamonds.
Natural diamonds, born in the earth.
Or created diamonds, born in a star.
We also have Louisiana's largest selection of engagement rings.
In addition to those, Ramsey's has hundreds of designer prototype engagement rings in open showcases.
Just pick them up and try them on.
Show us an engagement ring you like on your cell phone.
And we'll show you that engagement ring on your finger.
And every engagement ring comes with Ramsey's extraordinary lifetime warranty.
The best car companies will give you a 100,000-mile bumper-to-bumper warranty.
But Ramsey's bumper-to-bumper warranty is for 100,000 years.
Fabulous choices.
Wonderful prices. And the strongest warranty of any jewelry store in America.
That's how Ramsey's became the largest diamond store in Louisiana.
Ramsey's Diamond Jewelers, the largest diamond store in Louisiana, on Veterans between Bonneville and West End. And in Metairie.
Welcome to No Wake Outfitters, located in Metairie, just east of Causeway Boulevard, your one-stop fly shop.